Tell me a little bit about King Dean, how you guys got started.
Well, the band started in 2004 by our guitar player Dave and our drummer Sergio. But it wasn't that lineup. This lineup is actually since 2007. Yeah, a lot of changing, other bass players, other singers. And my brother joined in 2006 and I joined in 2007.
Now, what's it like being in a band with your brother?
It's pretty easy. It's pretty good.
Really?
Some people, most people gave us like 1 week, but it works out just fine.
Because my brother's a bass player and I'm a guitar player, and we tried that three times, and we ended up with bruises every time.
Really? Oh, that's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can work everything out, I think. And I guess me and my brother, we're the ones that talk to, we're not really talking in the band, you know. So maybe that helps.
Yeah. Yeah, that always helps, man.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about your new album, The Dark Side.
Yeah.
How did these songs come about? Because I mean, this album, and this is a compliment too. This album sounds like it almost came straight from the gutter.
Thanks.
You know, I mean, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's mostly because we weren't really happy with the last album, with our self-titled album. It sounded too soft, not raw at all. So the guys asked me if I would like to mix that stuff, and so I did.
Now, do you guys have a home studio or?
No. We were at the studio in Switzerland somewhere.
Now you guys are from Switzerland, right? The Bern area?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But actually, the father of me and my brother is from Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Ah, okay.
And our drummer is German. But we're a Swiss band located in Switzerland, in Bern.
Now, what is the music scene like in Switzerland?
It's pretty underground because all the commercial sounds, the popular ones, I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. But there are some fucking good underground bands, you know, and even big ones like Crocus. Maybe you heard of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're still going strong. Just like ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Now so what you're saying is basically there's an underground, a cool scene that's got all the cool stuff, and then the stuff that you're then there's the music you're basically told to listen to.
Yeah, totally. And we don't like that at all. We have a punk feel to everything. We don't like being told what to do at all.
Now, is the punk scene making a comeback in Central Europe?
Well, I don't know about that. I just know about what I see. But in Switzerland, the thing is, some people don't really accept us as a punk band because they always think of mohawks and torn up clothes and everything. But I think it comes from within. It is how you feel, not what you're wearing.
So they basically kind of get the stereotypical look that came with the Sex Pistols and the Ramones then.
Right. Although we like them very much, of course. But we don't need that kind of image. I mean, we're dirty bastards, yeah, that's right. But we don't have to show it off, you know.
Well, if you look at it, even Johnny Rotten rebelled against that look once it became a stereotype. He said they dressed like that because they were broke.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah, but they really were. They really were. Yeah.
Exactly. But do you think, you know, your type of music, because your type of music you could say is not just punk. I heard I heard just a tad bit of rockability in there. I heard some rock. You know, I heard some, you know, like L.A. rock a little bit. And I heard some of the late 80s, early 90s stuff, like, you know, some influences from bands like The Replacements.
You know,
stuff like that. So having said all that, where would you put yourself in to music in this decade? Because every decade's got its own signature sound.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's why we're calling it elegant punk. Because it's like our own style, maybe. But yeah, I would say it's more to hard rock with us guys. But yeah, as we, like you said, there are so many influences with us. We really listen to all kind of stuff from ABBA to ZZ Top, you know.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So, who would be your top three influences then?
Mine, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the Ramones, totally number one because of their live and stage show. It's so aggressive. It's so short. It's so fast. I like it very much. But even though I like them and love them and grew up with them, I don't think I have to sound like them. So, like my brother once said, we weren't looking for the sound. The sound found us. That's the point. But yeah, the Ramones are definitely in there. And maybe, I don't know, some AC/DC maybe. But
yeah,
but we're not sounding like AC/DC either. But we just grew up with this stuff. Hard guitars, loud, yeah.
Yeah, I get the feeling you guys are more along the lines of not paying tribute to certain bands, but more to certain sounds.
Yeah. You could say it like that. That sounds pretty good. I will steal that one.
Well, that opens up the floodgates to all these influences that people wouldn't even think you would have.
Yeah. It's very difficult because we were always called an alternative band, and we always thought, no, we're not really that. We're not that at all. So we gave us this label called Elegant Punk, and it works pretty good.
Oh, I love that label, Elegant Punk. You know, it's like you know, wear a tuxedo to the anarchy.
Yeah, totally. We're ready. Good looking for the apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, let's go back to one thing we were talking about earlier we didn't touch on. Like I said, I'm a musician myself, and a lot of the people that contact Jammer Direct are unsigned artists. So with you obviously being a musician, I've got to ask, like, what kind of gear are you guys using to get the guitar and bass sound?
No, those were total different things. We called everybody up who we knew and asked them to rent their equipment because we were looking for so many sounds, and sometimes we're used three amps for one song.
Nice.
But basically, mostly it's like a Fender guitar amp, a little combo, because it sounds pretty dirty and we like that. And I'm using different stuff because to me the bass just has to sound clear and and bassy.
Oh, I hear a little Fender Precision in your sound, so I was wondering if you played that at all.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't really there when we recorded it, you know. I was not sleeping at all and stuff like the good stuff, you know, living it. So I don't really remember anything from recording the album, but it worked. Yeah.
And also, I also heard, as far as guitar playing goes, a little bit of, maybe like an Orange amp and a Fender amp in there somewhere.
Yeah, could be. You'd have to ask Dave. I don't know. I don't know about it.
Well, when you guys were in recording the album, not just with the sound, but how did the songwriting process take hold? I mean, how do you guys piece a song together?
Oh, it's mostly the same. Somebody comes in with a riff, maybe only a line of lyrics, I mean. And we work from there. That's why we're all credited with the songwriting. Because sometimes our drummer says, come on, play it in this beat or something like that. So we're really working together. It's like building a house.
So is it one of those situations where you guys come in with parts of stuff and then just start jamming and see how everything melds together?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how it goes. We're having our little space in Bern, and yeah, we meet on the weekends, just rock away.
Nice. Now your video Dance For Me is pretty, it's pretty, I guess you could say, elegant in itself. How did that come about?
It was made by a friend of mine, an old friend called Norbert Gorby. And I was in a band with him together called Disco Rebel. So we met there in 2005, I guess. And after the band broke up, he didn't really touch his guitar and made this film stuff. And I heard about it and I asked him if he wanted to make a video for us. And yeah, it was a good choice. And the dancer was his idea, and sex sells.
And it looks good. It's one of those videos where it looks like it costs a lot more money than it probably did to make.
Yeah, that's totally it.
How did the concept, we know about the concept with the dancer, but how does that concept and the concept of the video meld into the original idea for the song itself?
No, I don't know about that because I'm not the director. I don't think about stuff like that. I think it's a different view than we had. Because, yeah, what we meant with dance for me is the dirty kind, you know. There's bedroom lights and give it to me, baby, something like that. So he had this elegant touch about it, and we thought it's pretty well made and a pretty good decision to make it like that.
It's kind of cool though, isn't it, to see somebody else interpret your music like that?
Totally. Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree.
Did it turn out different than you thought it would?
No, we didn't even know what to expect. So we were happy anyways, you know.
Nice. Now, if you could pick a song to be the next video, which would it be?
Oh, that would be LA County FFF. The one where we sing I Wanna Go Down On You. And we're actually working on a script right now. So we're going to make a video in May, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do the three F stand for?
Oh my God, our singer came up with that one. I think it was Fire Fucking Friends. Yeah, his idea.
Nice.
The intellectual of the band, you know.
Yeah. So, well, what is the song about then, I gotta ask?
Oh, about everything. About everything and nothing. It's like he's talking about U.S. foreign policies and yeah, whatever, but he just wants to go down on her. But our singer always announces it as a political song. So everybody's a little shocked because Swiss people can have their head up their butt. But we like to surprise the people and shock them.
Now, I got to ask, how did Hater Song come about? Because, I mean, that almost tells you what it came about, but I got to see if there's a backstory.
Yeah, those lyrics were written by me and our guitar player. How did it come about? There was a lot of hate. we were really, really angry about some people, and I just wrote a line and he wrote another one and so on. Me and Dave, we always work like that. We want to make the next line the better line. So we just rambled away, and that's how Hater Song came about. And we just looked at the lyrics and thought, man, it has to be called Hater Song. Something else would make sense.
Now, was this song about people that hated the band or competing bands or something? Or
yeah, that's too, of course. Yeah, because we have our enemies in the scene, of course, and Swiss bands. They think we're arrogant. We're aggressive people, but we're not. We're really not. But it, yeah.
You know what, though? What I learned about that, that's a sign of becoming famous.
Thanks, I hope so.
You know, what we do here with Jammer Direct and everything, when we started getting people that hated us, we found out they were all trying to compete too.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was like, okay, welcome to being famous. You know, we're big time now.
That's the start. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you could pick three songs off the Dark Side and throw the rest away, what would they be and why?
Oh. I think it would be those three songs that we uploaded for free download. I think it's Laurel Canyon, the Darks, Laurel Canyon Dance for Me, and LA County FFF. But then again, there is a song on it called Deborah, and that one's really good too. I like them all. It's you know, it's like having a baby. It's like having two sons. You don't like one more than the other.
Yeah, it's hard to pick because you like something about everyone.
Yeah, totally.
So what? Where do you guys play normally? Like out and about, and what's a King Dean show like?
Oh yeah, well we play at the really really sometimes really dirty clubs, but we thought these are the best shows. Always much sweat, beautiful women, even though they're drunk as fuck.
That's the best kind, though.
yeah. You should visit someday.
Oh yeah,
there are lots of drunk girls. It's pretty funny to look at.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, what's the actual show like? I mean, do you guys come on wearing the suits, and then you know, is it dark? Is the show as dark and seedy as the place is?
Yeah. It's something like that. We always play in the suits. Getting a little undressed by the end of the set. That's normal because of the heat. And it's mostly. We're playing as long as we can. When we see the people really, really like us, it's not a problem for us to play 2.5 hours or something like that with mostly original music. Of course, sometimes we throw maybe a cover or two in there, like Too Drunk to Fuck by the Dead Kennedys.
Nice.
Because, yeah, it's always a good show ender.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, because I love bands like that, like Dead Kennedys, TSOL.
They're awesome. Know?
And even bands like Husker Du.
Oh yeah. I just listened to them yesterday.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I love it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause I could see you like trailblazing in that direction. You know, like bringing that stuff back. Because if you notice, you know, bands like Husker Du and we mentioned the Replacements earlier, Dead Kennedys, TSOL, you know, and even bands like Dead Milkmen, you know, stayed underground and kept their street cred, but brought it to the surface.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's yeah, that's right. They have a big base, fan base. It's really big, almost commercial. You know, it's like something like NoFX. I mean, they are really the biggest underground band there is. I think underground punk band. They have such a strong following, and everybody knows about them, but they didn't have one hit.
Yeah, and maybe Butthole Surfers a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because they kind of like, you know, like, were right behind NoFX for a while there, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, but where do you see King Dean, you know, in the future then, when it comes to that style of music? How do you see yourself evolving?
No, I really don't know. I'm living in the moment, and the band does as well. It's pretty hard to say because three of us are married now. There are children. It's getting a little tough to get together all the time and jam and do concerts or tours. Even tours are really, really rare nowadays. But I think we will continue to make music, whatever comes, but we will stay together. I really think, because we didn't have a big fight, never. Yeah.
And as long as the fun stays in it, because, I mean, you know, like I said, yeah. You know, me and my brother are the same way. We're in different bands, but we still play, even though, you know, life got in the way, or life put us in our place. I mean, there's always a place for music.
Yeah, I always think as long as there are people who want to listen to us play, we will continue.
Exactly, and that's all you can do. And you guys are actually, you guys are doing a great job at it. I mean, The Dark Side is a brilliant album, and it's got,
thanks.
And it's one of those albums that I could say I enjoy the sound of it as well. You know, like we were talking about, just the ambience.
Yeah, it's. It's not everybody's feeling that way. We even heard, oh, it's mixed like a garage band and stuff like that. But that's what we were going for. We wanted it to sound raw and dirty.
Yeah, You know,
not too polished.
You know what? You know what? The Dark Side's a good example of. It's something I call the Tarantino effect.
Yeah, Tarantino effect.
Where if you notice, Quentin Tarantino does that kind of guerrilla style editing to his movies.
Yeah, he does.
But his movies have that $100 million plus polished look.
Yeah,
and you guys have that same mixture. It's almost a guerrilla style recording process where it does sound like it was in a garage, but then it sounds like it was handed over to Abbey Road Studios. Oh, you know, for post.
Well, that sounds pretty good. It's pretty good.
You know, so I mean, it's a you know, so the going back to the elegant punk theme, I mean, that fits it to a T.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, and we wanted to have it that way. Yeah, not a polished, clean stuff. It's not ourselves, and we don't want to sound like a copy of something or somebody.
Have you thought about? I just thought of this, but have you thought about submitting these songs to you know, for movie soundtracks or whatnot? Because, like I said, I could picture this like in Pulp Fiction. Some of the stuff.
Yeah, so it sounds like a good idea. Maybe I should do that. Why not? I didn't even think about it, but that's an idea.
Exactly.
Why not?
Exactly. Well, because you guys kind of remind me of another band that did that, that has kind of a similar sound, not really so much, but a little bit, called Urge Overkill.
They were in Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah, that. Well, if you notice, they kind of made it big with a song called Sister Havana, and then when Pulp Fiction came out, they just blew up. You know, I could picture that with you guys, like, real easily.
Yeah, would be great. If somebody's listening, give me a call. Yeah, why not?
Most definitely. So what does King Dean have coming up as a band within the next 12 months?
I think a new album. We're already working on the next album because it took really long. There were so many problems with making that last, this album, The Dark Side, and we lost a bit of time, but we were still writing and... Yeah, we're putting together a new record so we can record it next year, maybe.
Nice. Now, when does The Dark Side come out, or has it come out already?
It did come out already. It was like in December last year.
Okay, so it's...
But it didn't really take off until the video was released.
Oh, okay, so YouTube kind of gave it a little shove then.
Yeah, totally.
Nice. And that's the way stuff works nowadays, man, if you notice.
Yeah, I know.
Well, how do you think the internet helps or hurts independent artists now? Because if you remember 20 years ago, you know, the deal, you know, the best any of us could do would be to plaster, you know, your local city with posters everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and now you can just upload a video onto YouTube and get 100 million views if it's good.
I think it's a pretty good thing for one, but the other thing is there's also so much crap, so many bad bands. I mean, everybody can release music now with this internet thing, and there are really crappy bands, but they're playing in front of 100 people because they're all friends, or the whole university is coming. And I think even if you're having a good clip, a good music video, it's not necessarily that you get a million views just because it's good. It could be also be overlooked because there are so many of them.
Yeah. So you think maybe there's a problem with too much white noise being online now?
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better.
That's exactly the issue. But, I mean, sometimes I think bands get lucky, and I think that's, you know, all a matter of timing as well.
Yeah.
So well, let me ask you this, though. On the flip side, what would you do if, okay, you're just perusing through the internet one day and you see a BitTorrent of The Dark Side?
Oh,
I get mixed answers from every artist I ask that.
Yeah. I could go the Lars Ulrich route, you know, against Napster or anything. But To be really honest, we found a download from our last album on a Spanish music page, the whole album for free download, and it was downloaded a lot. So, you know, I at first I thought, oh, those bastards, fucking thieves. And then I saw it was like downloaded 500 times, and I thought, wait a second, is that really bad? Is that really bad? Because on the one side, that will give you more shows. Because when people like your sound, they will come to the show. And there are some honest people who still will buy the CD.
I could see that, too. I mean, on the one hand, you've got, you know, I mean, you're getting famous for nothing, you know, really. I mean, because it's another venue that you didn't realize you had. On the flip side, though, like if you sold the whole album at $9.99, that's $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, for 500 downloads. But I'm hearing from major label artists all the way down to independent artists that the music is not the moneymaker anymore.
Yeah, they're more on the touring, on the shows, and merchandise maybe. I can see that, but oh my god, it's a difficult issue to me. I really can't say anything. I guess it helps. I guess it helps with the downloads. Stealing helps everybody.
Yeah. Well, also it's the ultimate compliment if they're willing to download your whole album for nothing. It's in a way, it's a compliment because they sought you out and downloaded it.
Yeah,
totally. Because of something they saw about you online. Now, let me ask you this, because this is an important question too. With the way everything's changing, with major label, you know, with major labels, if you notice, they're kind of suffering right now. But you know, what if a major label like Atlantic or Sony or Virgin came up to you and said, you know, we want to sign you guys, but then, you know, they did everything that major labels do. They changed your music. They taught you, they told you how you're going to dress from now on. They changed your hairstyles, did everything. And they gave you new instruments because those are the companies that are going to endorse you. But then you think the guitar sucks. you know, I mean, what would you do? I mean, would you take that knowing that might happen?
Some of that maybe, but, changing the sound, that's a really, really big step, and you just lose your identity. I mean, come on, what would they expect us to play? Like, going Lady Gaga or something like that. I don't know. There are some things I would do. I mean, the dressing, I wouldn't mind. I don't care. If they tell me I sell more records when I wear this or that, no problem. Getting a haircut, no problem. Shaving, but the sound, no way. Maybe a little compromise, but yeah, it depends. It depends how hard it would be.
And that's always a hard decision to make. I mean, you know, because the bigger you get, the more you're asked to compromise.
Yeah. It's well, after 11 years, we just found our sound. I don't think. But on the other side, I don't think anybody would approach us with something like that because it would be really stupid, and we're really stubborn people. We don't really do what they're telling us. Yeah.
And your sound's always going to change anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
Because, I mean, think about it. If you found, I mean, I'll bet you sound totally different than the first day the band started.
Yeah, we sucked.
Yeah, I've been there. So, but in 5 years, you'll probably sound, I mean, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, whatever you're recording 5 years from now will sound different than the dark side.
Yeah. Everything's possible. I mean, maybe in 5 years, we're releasing a hard rock album. Straight on rock. Why not? I could see that. Yeah.
Yep. Or an ABBA tribute album.
Yeah. Or an unplugged thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So where can we find King Dean online?
Online, we have a little homepage, but it's there's just the the useless stuff is up there, you know. It's on kingdean.ch, that stands for Switzerland. But we have a Facebook page for everybody who's on Facebook. That's facebook.com/kingdeanband. And there are some funny pics and releases, and there's everything, I think. We're even on Twitter, but nobody's using it.